Bhagavatam consists of 12 parts. They are called skandhas. And they are all arranged in the form of a staircase for reaching the final destination. And the entire book is in poetry. And it consists of 18,000 verses. The procedure in our religious texts are, we start with a conversation between some evolved soul and other sages and saints. So similarly, this also starts. This is a very big sacrifice, fire sacrifice, which we call it as yaga, which is being done for 100 years. When you do the fire sacrifice, standing and offering the oblations into the fire, it is called yaga. When you sit down and offer the fires, it is a smaller version. It is called Homa or Havan. And when you do it for the benefit of the entire world, for 100 years, 1,000 years, it lasts. It is a very long process of fire sacrifice, yaga. And that is called a satra. So there was once a great satra which is being done for the benefit of the entire world. And there were so many sages present. And all the mythological texts are completely known to one category of people called sutas. Sutta is a post and not a name. And whenever there is an interval, say the fire sacrifice will be over by say 1 o'clock, and then there will be meals. And then the evening, say from 3 o'clock onwards or 4 o'clock onwards, the rishis would like to hear something about the Lord. This is the procedure. So there were great rishis led by one great saint called Shaunaka. She asked Sutta, please tell us something about the Lord. We would like to know how the Lord not only is supposed to remain in some unknown region upwards, but he is very much with us. So these are all being are narrated in an esoteric way to show that the Lord is always with us. They are saying how he has taken an avatar, he has taken incarnation as Krishna, as Rama, as Parashurama, so in these manners. So here this book is going to emphasize mainly about the birth and the various disportation of the Supreme Lord Krishna. And so that is supposed, Vyasa is supposed. These are all people who are expounding all these mythological texts, the religious texts. These religious texts contain a mixture of mythological stories and a lot of truths. Not only the truth, the path, the sadhana, what should we do to attain the highest reality? What should we do to eliminate all our sorrows and sufferings and tribulations and to reach the highest bliss? And Sutta means to tell them the story. The story is again has got an esoteric meaning behind it. Narada was a Devarshi. Devarshi means a saint who belonged to the earth, and by virtue of his penance, he was able to attain the status almost of a god. So they are called the Devarshis. And Narada was going somewhere, and at that time he found in Vrindavan, he was going through all the places. When he was going through all the places, he was very much, full of sorrows on seeing the world. The world was going from bad to worse. Nowhere people were able to think of the Lord. This is the current time called the Kali Yuga, which spreads over a period of about 4 lakhs of years. We have just started life. We are in the, more than about 1/4 of it is running, say about 1 lakh. And then the first part is over. So he says, Satyam nasti tapasyavacham dayadhanam nevidyate. The current time, we call it the Yuga, nobody takes compassion on anybody. They're all cruel. Nobody gives in charity any amount. And the main thing is, nobody tells the truth. Everybody resorts to crookedness, cunningness, and udarambrano jivaham. See, now these days, we want to have accumulate a lot of money and eat well and live well. This is called Udarambaris. People who are oriented towards their stomach only, oriented towards their stomach. Then, Taruni Prabhudagihim Shalago Buddhidayakam Ashrama Yavade Buddhaham Tirthani Saritasthatam. The various ashramas and the various sacred rivers, they are all full of gundas. The people who try to loot others. Na yogi neva siddhavan na jnani satriya gatam. See, nobody is a yogi. Nobody does anything to attain the Lord through the yoga marga. Nobody has gotten a siddha purusha where he has been able to attain some mystic powers. There was a wonderful scenery in Vrindavan when he came to Vrindavan. There is a young lady, she was sitting, and by her side, her two sons were there. The one who was sitting, her name was Bhakti or Devotion. See, here again you see, we are trying to form to what is called the various aspects. Devotion is an aspect with which we read the Lord. And now they have made it a form. So this is a story so that it can hold the interest of the people. And by his side are two sons were there. One is called the knowledge or jnana, and the other is called the vairagya or dispassion towards the worldly things. And this lady, she is young, but the two sons of hers, they were all quite old. They were all absolutely old like. Their hairs were all, have all turned grey, and their body was full of wrinkles, and due to old age they were unable to hold themselves properly, and they were lying down in the mother's lap, and they were sleeping like, perhaps they were in a coma. Then this bhakti, this young lady, calls Narada. Oh, Narada, please help me. I'm in a great trouble. See, look here. Because when this Kali Yuga came, when truth is lost, when people are crooked, when people are oriented towards their stomach, automatically nobody wanted devotion. There were no takers or customers for me. And naturally, the Lord turned me and my two sons. See, what do you mean by two sons? When once you get devotion to the Lord, then automatically the higher knowledge comes to you and the dispassion or vairagya comes to you. So it is here depicted as if bhakti has got two sons. The one is called the dispassion or vairagya, the other one is called the jnana or the final knowledge. So she tells him that at last I also became very old, and my two sons became old. And then slowly I wended my way towards Vrindavan. And Vrindavan is the one place where even in Kali Yuga the devotion exists to the Lord Krishna. Krishna still lives there personally, even though you may not be able to see him. In the invisible form, he is directly approachable there. And when I came here, because devotion is the only thing left in Vrindavan, so I became young. But unfortunately, my two sons, the knowledge and dispassion, have become quite old. I don't know what to do with them, and they are in half coma. So please do something in order to make them perfectly young enough, along with me. When the mother is young, it is not correct or it's not appropriate that the son should be very old. Then वृथा खेदे सेवानी अहो चिंता दुरा कथम श्रीकृष्ण चरणाम भोजम स्मर दुखम गमिष्यसी. Narada tells her, O lady, why are you unnecessarily torturing yourself? The Lord, the Supreme Lord, you just think of him. By thinking of him, all your troubles will vanish. And he gives various examples how Lord Krishna saved Draupadi in her various trials and tribulations. And then he says, oh mother Bhakti, don't worry. In this yuga, I will go from house to house and talk about you, and I will establish you, and I will kindle devotion in the hearts of all the people. I will do that. So, and then Narada, in order to wake them up from their coma, he recites the Vedas. He recites the Advaita philosophy, Vedanta, Veda Vedanta Goshishcha. And then he reads Bhagavad Gita, he reads Ramayana, but they had no effect at all. He has exhausted his talk of the knowledge of those texts which can help these two boys. Now there is nothing more is left. Then Narada himself is perturbed. Now what can I do? Then He says, wait, I am going to ask the various sages and saints whether any of them know a method to wake you up from your slumber, to wake you up from your coma. Narada goes away. He says, just wait for me. Narada goes away. Find out a method by which he can wake up the vairagya and the jnana. And luckily he meets with his elder brothers, Sanat Kumara, Sanat Sujata, and these were the firstborn of Brahma, the very first children which Brahma bore from his mind, mentally created. And there were four brothers. And Narada also came out of the body of Brahma. So Narada is considered the younger brother of these four boys. These first four children, they looked like small children of 5 years old, even though they were all highly evolved souls. They were all realized souls. But to look at them, one would think that they were young boys. And they asked Narada, what is the matter with you? You look highly perturbed like, and you are not very happy. You are full of sorrows, it seems. Come on, share your sorrow with us. Then Narada tells him the state of bhakti. See, bhakti has got the two children there. And the two children have become very old. And they are in a coma. One is called, one is called knowledge. The other is called dispassion or vairagya. So, she seeks my help in order to wake them up. I have tried what all I know in order to kindle them. I told Veda Vedanta, I just recited Bhagavad Gita, but nothing was of any help. Then his four brothers tell him, yes, there is a method by which they can be awakened. See, there is a path which can lead you directly to the Lord. It can reach you to the Lord. But it has been kept a secret. So, Vaikuntha Sadaka Panta Chatur Gopyo Hi Vartate. The one which can take you to the highest place, that is the place of the Lord, that means moksha, it has been kept secret. It is not all who know. See, he says, there is one text called Srimad Bhagavatam. Well, it was sung by Shukadeva for the benefit of Parikshit. And if only you can read that Bhagavata and also expound on it, surely these two children will be awakened. And they told him how he has to do the katha, what are the methods, and he goes and he just sends word to all the people, because whenever Bhagavata is being told, the practice from the days of yore was to invite all the people they can, saying, here is going to be Bhagavata, please come and hear it. So he sent word, number of people came, all the great sages like Parashara, Devala, Asita, all of them, they came, they were all there. And they began to, and the four Sanat Kumaras, Sanat Sanat Kumara, Sanat Sridhata, etc. They began to read the Bhagavata for the benefit of Narada and others. And when they were doing it, suddenly the Supreme Lord took a form of Lord Krishna and appeared before them, dancing, and along with him, all his courtiers were there, and somebody was playing the orchestra, somebody was playing the mridanga, that is the percussion, and thus Lord himself came and blessed them all, and Bhakti also walked in along with the two children. Suddenly they found the two children, they were awakened, and they became quite young. Thus, when this story was told by Sutta, the Maharishis asked him a question. Well, this is a very, very old story. Is there any instance where, in the recent past, somebody has recited this Bhagavata and it has resulted in some benefit or advantage to some people? Then the Sutta, he gives them the story of Gokarna. It so happened that there was a gentleman known as Atmadeva. Atmadeva had no children. He was extremely unhappy because it is told in the religious text, a man with no children, he wouldn't be able to get his mukti. So he was perturbed by that. And one day, when he was taking bath in a river, he saw a Swamiji, a Mahatma, a saint, taking his bath. He went and did the prostrations and requested him, "Sir, please help me. I am having no children. Please give me at least one boy." He tries to dissuade him from having a child. "See, look here, if you have a child, it will be more of an impediment in the progress of your spiritual evolution. So don't ask for it. You should be happy as you are, and you will have enough time to devote to the Lord." But he is very adamant. He says, "No, I want a child." Then the Mahatma, the sage, gives him a fruit and tells him, "You give it to your wife and she will become pregnant." And when he went and gave the fruit to his wife, telling her the details, how he got it, the wife was not very happy about it. She didn't want a son. She said, "Oh my Lord, to be pregnant is full of trials and tribulations. I will have pain all over the body. I will not be able to walk. So I don't want." So secretly she gave the fruit, the cow, and told him, "I have taken it." But because the vibrations of the sage was there, she also gave birth to a child. And at the same time, the cow also gave birth to a human child. The child which was born to Atmadeva, he turned out to be a wastrel, a vagabond. He was not interested in things spiritual. He was always playing dice and going with women of ill repute. He was absolutely in the wrong path. And any mountain advice could not turn him away from his path. At the same time, the human child which was born to the cow, she had a long ears just like that of a cow. So he was called Gokarna. Gokarna studied all shastras, all the sciences, all the Vedas. She became a great pandit. He became a great scholar in spiritual texts. Then this first son of Atmadeva, he was called Dundukari. So Dundukari, he had a relationship with all prostitutes. He lived with them, and whenever they troubled him, you get me some more money, you get me a lot of money, why are you here otherwise? Then he used to go to his house, beat his father, and Kovittam Tattadibruhim Harishya Lityanachet. He went and threatened his mother, look here, tell me where have you hidden the money? Otherwise, I am going to whip you with this whip. Thus, he became a nuisance, and she bet his mother and went away. That night, his mother commits suicide by falling into the well. She becomes unhappy with this sort of son. And finally, that Dundukari takes to going somewhere and trying to burgle the houses. And once he brought a lot of ornaments and a lot of wealth by looting some house, he brought them and gave to those prostitutes, and they were all very happy. But the prostitutes thought, now that you have got a lot of money, they have got a lot of ornaments, but the police department of the king will be very active now to find out. And they may trace all these things to this fellow who is in our house. And then we will all be in trouble. So secretly one night, they killed him by putting a noose around his neck. They killed him so that he can live happily. And they went away from that place to a faraway place. And with all the money, they were living happily. In the way Gokarna, in the meantime, even when Gokarna was alive, the father was very unhappy, and he was weeping, now there is nobody, my wife has also committed suicide, my son is a vassal and a vagabond, so what can I do? Then Gokarna is a wild soul. He goes and consults his father and tells him, father, why are you weeping? This is all unnecessary. This body is not yours. Dehasti mam sarudhire vimatam tejatvam jayasudha drisada mamatam vimuncham pashyanisham jagaditam kshanabhanga nishtam vairagya ragadisiko bhava bhakti nishta. Father, this body is made up of bones, flesh, and all these things which you would not touch with your hand, and all unholy things. And on this way are you having attachment to this? Leave off your attachment to the body. And because of the body, you have got attachment towards your wife, towards your son. Please, you leave off your sense of position, saying, this wife is mine, this child is mine. Please, leave off all your attachment towards your son and all your relatives. Then, number one. Number two, the entire world, there is nothing to attract us. It is all momentary. It's all evanescent. You just see them and then the things disappear. Today somebody is there, tomorrow he is not there anymore. So every item in this world is subject to destruction only. They don't live forever. So all these worldly activities, these worldly duties, you leave them off and take to the only duty of trying to please God and to reach Him. This is our only duty. And for that, what should we do? Sevasya sadhi purushan. You go to the holy company of good people and be in their company and try to serve them and be with them. Then slowly their vibrations, their advice, all these things will help you and you will be able to rise up. And Jai Kama Trishna, these are the only two. Number one is seek the company of holy people, good people who are well versed in the knowledge of the Lord. And the second thing is Jai Kama Trishna, leave off your desires. Our Upanishad says, Yada sarve pramuchyante kama yasya gatishyatah tada martyo amrito bhavati atra brahma samashrute atra brahma samashrute. He says, see that all the desires leave you. There is a difference between your leaving the desire and the desires leaving you. I want gulab jamun, then I leave it. Then tomorrow again I may be tempted and I will take it. When the gulab jamun ceases to exercise its influence on you, its attraction on you, and it withdraws itself, then you cannot do anything. Then even if you taste it, it will taste like mud. You won't be able to taste it. So that is where the desires leave you. The desires leave you. There is the time. Yada sarve pramuchyante kama yasya gatishyatah. You nip them in the bud, otherwise these desires will get into action. So you leave off the desires, even when they sprout in your heart. Then what happens? Martya amrita bhavati. We are all subject to birth and death. Cycles of birth, again and again we are born, we are dying, we are born, we are dying. This circle will be over. You will become immortal. You will never have any death. You will become that, the only reality which remains absolutely deathless. Then, atra brahma samashrute, the supreme God of the reality, you are able to see face to face in this very birth, only through, by leaving of all desires. So these are the two important things. You see, this is how Bhagavata tells stories, and in between very very important tips for our success in our spiritual progress is given from time to time. Then he says another one, anyasya doshaguna chintanam ashamutva sevagata prasarudharam. He says, don't try to find out the defects of others. This man only tells lies. This man is crooked. This man is not honest. Do not at all look at them. Look at yourself. Do not try to pick the defects in others. And you always look at yourself. Find out your faults and try to correct them yourself. And then you just think of the Lord's disputations, stories of Lord's bhaktas, stories of the Lord disputing as various incarnations. Well, you try to immerse yourself in those things, then you will definitely reach your spiritual goal. And thus, finally, he leaves the house and goes away. The father is impressed by this advice and he leaves away. and the wife has already died. And finally the prostitutes kill this fellow Dhandukari. In the meantime, Gokarna had gone away on a yatra, on a pilgrimage. Somewhere on the way he heard that his brother has died, his brother is no more. So many funeral rites, there are some holy places where we go and offer some oblations. Then those souls which had especially those souls which had originally, those who had committed suicide, they are not supposed to go up, and they are earthbound for a long time in order to release them so that they can go up on the spiritual path and they will be born in a good family. So for that purpose we do so many rites in various specific places like Gaya. So he went and did all those things. He went to Gaya, he went to Badrinath, where the Atmapinda is given even. So he went and gave all those rites he did there. One day when he was just sitting for meditation, suddenly he found before him a smoky figure. Its personality was not clear, and it suddenly assumed a big form, it suddenly assumed a small form, like that it was play. He asked, "Who are you?" That ghost answered, "I am your brother. I have become a ghost. Now I am tied to this world, but I don't have any body. So as such, I am full of desires, but I cannot fulfill them as I have got no body. So please do something to release me from this so that I can go upwards. I could progress towards the spiritual goal." He says, "What shall I do in order to help you? I have done all I can." He says, "You find out. It is for you. You are the Pandit. You are the scholar." So the next day, by his yogic powers, he stops the progress of the sun. The sun is going, he stopped his progress. He said, "Who is that fellow who has stopped me from going further? My chariot has been held up." Then, with prostrations, Gokarna asked him, "What else can I do to help my brother?" Then the son tells him, "Do Bhagavata. You recite Bhagavata, let that ghost hear the Bhagavata, then it will be released." Then he holds a big ayujan, or what you call, a place where he is going to tell Bhagavata. He invites all the people, and hundreds and thousands of people came. And in between they kept a bamboo, because it was a tent. So in between they kept a big bamboo pillar. And the ghost came and it was living in the bamboo pillar. And living inside that bamboo pillar, it was with all rapt attention, it was hearing the Bhagavata which was being told, both the recitation of the shlokas, the verses, as also the explanation which he was giving in the afternoon. Both he was hearing. And throughout the night, he'll be going on thinking about it. "Oh my Lord, what beautiful things he has expounded. I was never aware of all these things. That is why I have reached a very bad end. Now at least I have to." So thus, throughout night he was thinking of what he heard during the day. Thus, on the seventh day, see, normally Bhagavata is recited and its exposition is done within 7 days. So in those 7 days, he was able to reach a height. With the result of the seventh day, the entire bamboo broke and the ghost was released from its attachment to this earth and was able to walk. And at that time, Vimana, we may call it a helicopter, it came from the heavens in order to take him. The helicopter had only one seat more, only that Dhundukari can sit. Gokarna addresses those pilots, "Hey, look here, hundreds of people have been hearing this Bhagavata from morning to evening, all these 7 days, and so did the ghost. How is it that you are partial and you have brought a helicopter only for him? You have brought an Airbus so it can contain some 200, 300 people and it should all be released and taken away?" Then the pilots laugh and tell, "There is a difference between hearing and hearing. If there are 20 people here, one of them will be slightly dozing. Another one will be having a sound sleep. I mean, a sleep with the sound of snoring. And the third one, even though he is sitting there, he will be thinking of his mother-in-law, father-in-law, or his father who is in the ICU, God knows what. So he will be thinking of other things. He will not be here." And this particular ghost was absolutely interested only in Bhagavata. And morning to night it was only hearing, then thinking of it. How many of you, when you went home, thought of it? When you went home, you asked your wife, "Aaj kya sabji banaye? What sort of vegetable you have prepared?" And again, you are all stomach oriented. That's all. So he said, "If only you people hear with the rapt attention with which this ghost heard in all these days, then you will also have a big Airbus and you will all go towards, go to the heavens." Thus, the story of the story is over. Now, actually speaking, the entire Bhagavata is now going to start. The entire Bhagavata was a conversation, not a big conversation, just a question raised by Parikshit to a sage called Shuka. And he gave the answer in one verse containing two sentences, that's all. The Bhagavata should end. But in order that its full significance and the various methods of approach to the Lord should all be imprinted in our mind so elaborately with a lot of illustrations of great Mahatmas, the Mahatmas who slipped and failed in between, the Mahatmas who reached the highest pinnacle of the glory of spirituality. So these are all being told. So from that it starts. And it starts with, see, there is a great sage, the greatest of sages. We call him the Guru of Gurus. He was the first teacher for us. In fact, on the Guru Purnima day, when we worship all our erstwhile teachers and our own Guru, our own Master, then we start with the worship of Vyasa. He was there over a long period, during the period of Pandavas, during the period of the Mahabharata war, and subsequently, and much earlier also. The beauty of these great sages is, after attaining the spiritual end, they don't stop. They want that everybody in the world should reach the same state, the same spiritual state. They are highly worried about the entire world, the populace, if they are engaged in any activities other than the spiritual activities. And Vyasa, for that purpose, he found the entire world was absolutely going towards a bad end. Nobody was interested in spirituality. Then he thought, this is because the Vedas are too big. There is only one Veda initially. Our scriptures, the main scripture, which is called the Vedas, there is only one big one. Oh, this is perhaps too big for them to handle, so they are not interested. So let me divide them into four Vedas. So Vyasa divided them into four Vedas. He waited. A number of years went. Nobody was interested in these four volumes. Rig Veda, Ajur Veda, Sam Veda, Atharva Veda. Nobody was interested. Then again he thought, well, people are not interested in simple spiritual teachings alone. So we should mix it with some stories. Then he wrote the biggest of epics, which is called the Mahabharata, which detailed the 18 days war between the Pandavas and the Kauravas. And Iti Bharata Makhyanam, why did he do it? Because he found, yes, it is also perhaps the Vedas are not, it is meant exclusively for certain people, and the Vedas prohibited that they should be studied by, say, women, say, a fallen Brahmin who is not following his daily routine of spiritual activities. To such people, Sri Shudra Dvijabandhunam Trayida Shuti Gojaram Iti Bharatama Akhyanam. He said, see, look here, this told Vedas should not be heard by the ladies. Vedas can be read. Because the entire thing is a sound effect. And there are portions in the Vedas where in the old editions of 1896 and all, which my father had and seen, in certain portions where they have written that Garbhinya Apasarata, pregnant one should not sit here, get out. Because these sound effects will work like laser, certain portions, and they will go and the womb will be destroyed, like the laser beam destroys the various cells, so the womb will be destroyed. And that is why they were particular that women can read it, but women cannot hear it. Shruti Gochara, it is not capable of being heard. So certain communities were thus prohibited from hearing it, not because of the male chauvinistic attitude, but because in the interest of those ladies only, this was being done. Say for instance, in the Rudriya portion comes, Ye Bhutana Madhipatiyo Vishikasa Kavardinaha Ye Anned Vidyantipatted Vibhato Janaanin. Now in these portions it was written, I specifically remember, I was perhaps only 10 years old, I specifically remember it was written there. So now, when you are telling the Vedas, you stop it and then you say, you all get out, you all come in, you all get out, you all come in. See, then the purpose of Vedas will be lost. So it has to be continuous. That is why they prohibited all the ladies. Not only that, there are verses, as I said, it's a sound effect, completely sound effect. And there were some portions where, there are very rare portions, but if a woman hears it, she can become a man. She will become a man completely. The entire, her personality is changed. But the reverse is not given there. So for all these purposes only, See, it's all the interest, these are not being explained, but these are all there. For these purposes only, women were prohibited from hearing the Vedas. There is there. And when you tell it loudly, naturally you hear it. So you cannot read it also loudly. You cannot read it loudly because you hear it. Nor can you go and hear somebody reciting it. That is there. And after all, if you want to know what is told in the Vedas, you can read. Nobody prevents you from reading the meanings. So you can read the Vedas. Now, after writing this book with 1 lakh verses, containing nice stories, and in between the philosophical truths have been put here and there, and even though this has been done, he found people didn't take any interest. People were going on the same path towards their destruction. They were not interested in the spiritual path at all. Now, Vyasa didn't know what further to do. He has already done what all he could do. And he fell into depression. Look here. We all fall into depression because we didn't get our promotion. Because my wife is not cooperative with me. But here is a case where they go into depression because the world is not following the path towards spirituality. There is the rarest of cases. And he was sitting with great dissatisfaction. Oh my Lord, I have done my best. What else can I do? At that time, Devarshi Narada again came over there. Reciting the Lord's name in his veena, she came over there. The moment he saw Vyasa, he asked him, Vyasji, you are a great sage. You are beyond happiness and unhappiness, joy and sorrow. What is it that aids you? Why are you looking highly gloomy in depressed life? Then he says, yes, because I have done a lot, but the world is not improving. So I don't know what to do. Then Narada says, see, look here. In this particular period of Kali Yuga, people are not interested in philosophical. And not are they interested in purely stories. See, they are interested in how the Supreme Lord, who is formless, who has got no attributes, who alone is, he takes the various forms, various incarnations, various avatars, he comes into the world, just like a common man, he plays with us all. And what are all the leelas he does, the disportation he does. So this, when they hear, automatically when they hear the God's glory, their mind will become purer and they will turn towards spirituality. Yatha dharma devasyartham munivaryanurnitam natata vasudevasya. He says, yes, in your Mahabharata, we have mentioned about dharma, the entire few chapters like Shanti Parvadika, only dharmas. What are the dharmas with the duties? The duties of a woman, the duties of a king, the duties of a kshatriya, the duties of a brahmin, the duties of a baniya. Like that, it covers all the dharmas. The dharma of a king, the dharma of a queen, what all the things. But unfortunately, there are 4 motives in life: dharma, artha, kama and moksha. We strive this entire life for getting any one of them normally. Dharma means you want to build a charity, you want to build a temple, you want to build a charitable hostel for blind people, you want to build a hostel for anathas, that is, the orphan children. Well, these are all dharmas. Dharmas in this sense. There are, dharmas has got several meanings. So here, dharma means something by which you get merits or punya. That is called the dharma. So, but you have not mentioned about the Lord's incarnations, how he came and played among mortals, just like another boy. See, Krishna's pranks, they were not just like any other boy. So, to come and play with us, to come and behave like an ordinary man, at the same time, reveal that he is not ordinary, he is the Lord himself. So both together at the same time, these are all enthralling to hear. So that you have not mentioned in any one of your books. That is what you should do. Then Vyasa asks, yes, I was alive at that time of Mahabharata war and all that. So I know the various pranks, but I don't remember them all. I forgot because it is all some thousands of years back, 2000 years back, 3000 years back. Now I am old, very ancient. So I don't remember them at all. So how can I write about them? Samadhina anusmara tad vichishtiram. There is only one method. You go into a deep meditation. The deep meditation takes you to samadhi. What is the difference between meditation and samadhi? In meditation, you are thinking of the Lord. So there is a subject, there is an object. The object is the Lord. The subject is you. And then you are there and the Lord is there. There are two. But you go on meditating, then when you go into the deep stage, it is converted into samadhi where you are not aware of yourself. You are not aware of your body sense. I mean, your body at all. The body sense goes and you are only aware of the supreme reality whose attributes are existence and awareness. You are simply aware that something exists and nothing more. So, you have to reach that stage. That is called a samadhi. And when once you go into those samadhi stages, there are various types of samadhis. So, in the earlier types of samadhis, you are still aware. Just as in the TV, they have recorded, say, some nice cassettes. So when you want, you can rewind it and you can see backward what has happened. Or if you don't want to see some portion, you want to see what happens much later, then you can forward it. So there is a rewinding and forwarding. So there are two processes. You can see anything which has happened earlier and you can see anything which is going to happen later also, immediately. In the same way, in the samadhi state, you can do the same. So, in the samadhi state, you try to recollect what has happened. Then, you will be able to see the Lord himself playing. It will be a video picture and you can then go on writing. Samadhina anusmara tad vichishtitam. You remember all the, you recollect all those plays of the Lord by going into the samadhi state. And he says, see, look here. I am telling all these things to you. How? By just hearing the Lord's leelas and disportations, you can reach the highest goal. I am myself, for instance, Narada says, in the earliest days, I was born as an ordinary man. I was born as a boy, and my mother was dead. My father had died. My mother was very poor, and she used to work in some houses and thus get some money. And there was a big charitable house where the Mahatmas were housed, and they were given free meals. So there she was working. This boy was very small, say 5 years old perhaps. And once it so happened, a number of Mahatmas had come there for Chaturmasya. In a year, for 4 months, the saints or the sages do not walk about here and there. Otherwise, you are supposed to be Parivrajaka, going on here and there, peripatetic, going from place to place. But in those 4 months, you stay in one place, and then for the benefit of the local people, you talk to them about God, you talk to them about Ramayana, you talk to them about Srimad Bhagavatam. So thus they spend that time. So these sages, they came there. 4 months they were there. This boy, he was very much attracted by those sages. So he was doing service to them. Somebody will say, hey, come on, bring me some pan and supari. He will run immediately and bring the pan and supari. Somebody will say, hey, bring me water in this kalash. He will take it and bring it. So like that, he was very fond of being service to those great sages. And not only that, you see, to get the vibrations quickly, we have a method. After the great Mahatma or sage has taken his food, some portions will be still left in the leaves. And that is called the Uchishta, or the polluted food. When one man is eaten, the balance is considered there, in this plate, as polluted. But that polluted food is considered as sacred in the case of great people, so they eat it. See, even though he was a boy, he took their permission first. May I eat them? Okay. Then he used to eat. Thus, he was getting the vibrations of such high sages. The vibrations of such high sages went and was working in his mind. And while those people were going away at the end of the 4 months, one of them took pity on the boy and gave him a mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Oh, my dear child, you go on repeating it. By repeating it, repeating it, repeating it for hours together, you will reach the highest happiness, the highest bliss through the intervention of the Lord. Then, thus, when they went away, he was absolutely after spiritual duties. He didn't want to remain here with his mother. He wanted to go into meditation all through the day. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, the Lord's name, he wanted to take. His mother told, hey, I've got only you yourself. I don't have any other boy. So you don't think of going away. As long as I'm alive, you will be here. Well, he had no other way, but the Lord helps you. Soon enough, one day, when his mother went for collection of some flowers in a garden, she was bit by a serpent, she died. Now the boy was free, so he went away, and he was doing intense tapasya, and the Lord himself came and stood and talked. He couldn't see him, he could hear his voice. He said, my dear boy, you have done well, but not enough. So in this birth, you cannot realize me. You will do it in the subsequent births. But definitely I am with you at all times. So don't bother. So the same way you continue to have your meditation and leave your body the next birth. And thus, in due course, she was born as Narada from the body of the Brahma himself. He was born. So thus it happened. Then, now we are coming to the story of the Parikshit. There we are starting from much earlier. How his forefathers were. See, look here. The genes also were. If my father, grandfather, great-grandfather, they were all spiritual, automatically my mind turns towards spirituality in many cases. Yes, there could be exceptions. So, Parikshit's father was Abhimanyu, the son of Arjuna. Arjuna's mother was Kunti. So, what a devoted lady she was. What an exclusive devotion she had for the Lord. That is going to illustrate. Because now that the war was over, the Mahabharata war was over, so Krishna was ready to go back to Dwarka, because he was a king there. He came only to help them in their war. And then the mother of the Pandavas, she was an aunt to Lord Krishna. But Kunti Devi never saw him as a nephew. She always saw him as a Lord, as the Supreme Lord. She knew his glories. He has proved it several times, again and again. So, when he wants to go, she is praying to Lord Krishna. It's a beautiful prayer. And just we take up some time to give you the gist of it, because they also contain the methods by which we can approach the Lord. So today we'll stop here. Hari Om. Om Hari Namah. Om Hari Namah. Om Hari Namah. Gopika Jivana Svaranam. Govinda Govinda. Thank you.